appreciate it this morning. God's been mighty good in my life. I'm thankful I can look around this room this morning and I can say I know God's been good in your life. And praise the Lord for it. I can rejoice with you when God blesses. We can weep together whenever circumstances of life go in a different direction, but we can all still hold on to the same hope that God will see us through and that He will work in our lives no matter what we face. And I'm thankful for that today. If you got your Bibles, we're going to the book of Ephesians chapter 1 this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, we'll read there in just a few minutes. I just want to kind of lay a foundation of where we are this morning. We turn here. I'm kind of changing gears here, leading up to revival the other week. I felt to do some preaching, but I feel it's a necessary time to return to some more expositional teaching or preaching, however the Lord allows, where we explain and apply the meaning of a specific passage of Scripture. I've done some topical preaching recently, but we're going to look here at the original context of Ephesians chapter 1. And I feel that Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 14 is a passage that many in our traditional Pentecostal churches have shied away from due to some controversies that surround some of the phrases and words that are contained in this, in these verses. We're going to see, several messages here. We return back to this several times. Phrases like verse number 4 of chapter 1 of Ephesians, chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. Words like predestinated, which is used twice in this passage, verse 5 and verse number 11. Or even the phrase in verse number 11, Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Ephesians 1, 3 through 14 is one of the richest theological passages in the New Testament. In the Greek, in the original Greek, it's one long sentence, somewhere around 202 words long. And with the Lord's help, I want to spend some time in this passage and try to mine some of the riches from these words. And as we go through this, we're going to talk about things such as union with Christ, spiritual blessings, election, predestination, as Paul talks about here, adoption, grace, redemption, forgiveness, God's sovereign plan, our eternal inheritance, and even our sealing and guarantee of the Spirit. And in this passage, Paul refers to being in Christ, or in Him, or through Him, no less than 10 times here in Ephesians chapter 1. And from this repeated thought, I would like to take our title for our time that we're going to spend here in Ephesians chapter 1. And I just would title these sermons, or these lessons, however they come across, Unveiling Our Spiritual Blessings in Christ. Unveiling Our Spiritual Blessings in Christ. If you got your Bibles there, let's read Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 3 is where we'll start. We'll read down to verse number 14. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Scripture says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, and whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. And we'll stop right there. We're going to probably read some of these verses multiple times in our coming messages, but this morning I want to focus right there. Verse number 3, if you would go back with me. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I want to talk to us this morning on this simple thought. Blessed with every spiritual blessing. Blessed with every spiritual blessing. And then pray this morning, ask the Lord to minister through His Word. Father, thank You today for Your Word. Thank You for the truth of Scripture. I know many times as Pentecostals, as those who tend to lean in the direction of the Arminian thought, we many times shy away from these words that are used as Paul preaches and declares here to the church in Ephesus. But Lord, I pray, help us, help our understanding as we consider today what it is to be blessed with all spiritual blessings. Lord, open our understandings, confirm our hearts, Lord, and let the power of Christ be real in our midst. And we give You the praise today, all the glory and all the honor. It's in Jesus' name we do ask it. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3, is the gateway into this wonderful passage, as we will see. In this verse, Paul opens up with a spontaneous eruption, as it were, of praise that's going to set the tone for the remainder of this run-on sentence, as it were, in the Greek. He does not begin with a list of instructions to the church in Ephesus. He doesn't begin with a list of warnings or theological arguments, although there will be time for that through the remainder of this letter. He begins here with worship. And you would say, well, why does Paul begin with worship? Because the truth is, he is about to unfold a mystery that is so wonderful that it can only be responded to with heartfelt praise and adoration unto God. Here, Paul is going to bless God, as we read there in Ephesians 1 and 3. Not because God lacks blessing, but because God is the source of all blessing. Oh, he praises the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, emphasizing both God's superiority, but also His nearness through the person of Jesus Christ. This God has not merely blessed us with a few gifts or some temporary favors, but He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. All these blessings are comprehensive. They are eternal. They are spiritual in nature. And they are not defined by material abundance or outward success, but simply by what God has done for us in Christ. These blessings all tie to the truth of who we are in Christ. That phrase, in Christ, is the key to unlocking the riches of this passage. Every blessing God gives to us through our union with Christ, it is because we have been united with Christ that we can say we are blessed with every spiritual blessing from God the Father. These blessings are not ours outside of Christ, but in Him they are fully and freely given. This union with Christ is the foundation of our identity. It is the foundation of our security, and it is the very hope of our destiny one day to have an inheritance in the saints. Paul locates these blessings in the heavenly places, a phrase that he uses 5 times in the book of Ephesians. It reminds us that our deepest treasures are not earthly, but they saints. They come from the realm where Christ reigns and where our true citizenship lies. These blessings include election, adoption, redemption, forgiveness, wisdom, revelation, inheritance, and the sealing by God with the Holy Spirit. This single verse reminds us of the generosity of our God. How generous He is. He is not stingy. He does not withhold good things, but He rather has lavished us in His grace, as the original language is going to bear out in a little while. He has lavished us with grace. He has poured out blessing Amen. Beyond our comprehension. Amen. Oh, here our eyes are lifted beyond the chaos of life on earth into the realm of the heavenlies. And I can almost hear Paul as he's saying, telling this church in Ephesus, in the midst of a world of chaos that they live, in the midst of a world of idolatry, will you lift your eyes into the heavenlies and peek beyond the veil? And will you see how generous God has been in your life? Will you pay attention to the fact that God has lavished you? He has over and again proven Himself to be the God of all grace. Our hearts in this passage are reoriented toward praise, not because our circumstances are perfect, but because God's blessing in Christ are perfect and they are complete. Oh, I've seen some of you. I've been saying, you've been raising your hands, you've been praising. You know why that is? It's because that's the natural response of a heart that has been blessed from heaven. Because we realize all that God has done for us in Christ, we haven't deserved it, we haven't earned it, but yet God has given it freely, and we want the response to be, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Let's look at this. I'll give you a few points this morning. First, Paul prioritizes praise. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul begins with praise here. Before listing what these blessings are, he blesses the one who has given them. This Greek word for blessing here is eulogitos. It means to speak well of or to praise. It is where we get our word eulogy from. It was a commendation or an affirmation of someone's work. If you would, it was almost as if Paul begins this by saying that God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is worthy of all our praise. Bless His name with me.
Hallelujah.
Because His character is worthy of our praise. His promises are worthy of our trust. Oh, His love is worthy of our adoration. Because we love Him, not because we first love Him, because He first loved us. Amen. He is worthy of all our praise.
Hallelujah.
Our praise is tied up in His Word. Paul doesn't begin with "we are blessed," even though he will get there. He begins with "blessed be God." The blessings that follow are not about us in the sinner, but about God's generous and glorious nature. Oh, I know. Many times we want to come in and testify and tell how blessed we are. And I encourage you, I've been trying to practice this in my own life this week. I've known most of the week that this is where I was going to be preaching from. Rather than just simply thanking God for His blessings, I try to return some blessing back God's way. And I said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. Because my praise is not simply tied up in what He has done, but in who He is. He, in His character, is worthy of my praise. And it should be the spontaneous overflow of a heart that is thankful and says, God is worthy. Even if I never receive anything else from it, He is worthy of my praise and my honor.
Praise God.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This verse teaches us something deeply important. Oh, Paul is showing us that our theology must always lead to praise. It must always lead to adoration of who God is. You know what, this morning, you come in here in Sunday school and you heard whatever lesson was called. I know for me, I think I got my weeks confused, and I was teaching Paul's message about the afterlife this morning. I come in, the class was like, wait a second, you're supposed to still be teaching on Jesus. You're trying to skip over Jesus' teaching on the afterlife. I was like, no, I guess I got my dates confused or something. I went in there and I was convinced I've been studying all week about Paul's address about the afterlife. But regardless of which one you heard, oh, let me tell you, when we hear the word of God and when our doctrine is founded, it should lead us to praise. It should lead us to worship God and give honor unto his name. Because doctrine that doesn't lead to doxology is empty.
That's right.
It's head knowledge. Yeah. But when it gets down inside of the heart, you begin to say, oh, Lord, I see how the doctrine of salvation applies to me. I see how the doctrine of sanctification is real for today. I see how the doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is for us, and what a blessing it is. And I return thanks unto God who has given us these abundant blessings. God is not to be worshipped simply because he gives us things, but because of who he is. Oh, we worship him because of who he is. The grace of God invites a free, heartfelt response. We are not puppets forced to bless God. We are people awakened by his grace and drawn into his loving grace. God didn't create puppets to praise him. We have a choice in the matter, this morning. Sister Amy's up here singing this song. Nobody's twisting your arm, making you lift your hands. Nobody's twisting your lips, making you say, praise the Lord. Oh, then we have the free moral agency to be able to choose to do that. But whenever our hearts are stirred and we recognize what God has done, it is our hearts that compel us to respond in thanks unto God. Many people want the gifts of God without wanting God himself. But Paul shows us that blessings flow out of relationship, worshiping the giver, not just craving the gifts. Worship is the proper and the primary response to grace. When you understand how much God has already done for you in Christ, your first instinct should be to give praise unto his name and to give thanks unto him for who he is. Oh, say you were trapped in a burning building. God forbid, I hope it doesn't happen to anybody here. You're trapped in a burning building. About the time you're about to succumb to the smoke, a firefighter busts down the door to the bedroom you're locked in. He comes through and he wraps you on his shoulders and carries you out of that building. I hope you don't start asking him a bunch of questions. Well, who are you? Why did you come do that for me? Well, you only did that because it's your job to do it. That ain't how you're going to respond. I know you people. I know what you're going to do. You're going to say, thank you. If it's in your possibility, you're going to say, thank you. Oh, that should be the response of our hearts as well. Oh, don't try to dig down to the bottom of it. Don't question the rescuer. Oh, I trust the first thing out of our mouths and from our hearts will be words of thanks and appreciation. Let it be the same way with God when we come into his house, when we get up in the morning. Let what be on the first thing on our hearts, let it be praise unto God for what he has done.
Preach on, Pastor.
Thank you.
Let it be praise. Paul prioritizes praise here. Number two, Paul says, we're already blessed. He said, he who has blessed us, or hath blessed us. Verse number three. Paul moves from the worship of blessed be God to the declaration that God has blessed us. Past tense, notice that. Already done, completed action. It's not wishful thinking, nor a vague future hope. In Christ, God has already poured out his blessings on those who believe. Paul is not saying that God might bless, or that he will bless at some future day, but that God has already blessed us. If I don't see the sun tomorrow, I want you to stand in my casket. I want you to say, God blessed him, because it is the truth. I have been blessed already. This reminds us that spiritual blessing is not something we've earned, but something we have received. It is not a goal to achieve, but a gift that's already given. This truth shifts our spiritual mindset. We don't live for God's favor. We live from God's favor. We live out of the fact that God has shown us favor and been kind to us. The us here refers to the community of believers, those who are in Christ. The blessings are corporate, yet they are experienced individually by faith. Imagine sitting down at the Thanksgiving dinner table with piles of food in front of you, and sitting there looking at all that has been prepared, and then looking over at one of the people who helped prepare and saying, well, I wish you would have prepared something that I like. You know, something that was to my taste. I don't know about you, but whether I go to my mom's or I go to Kayla's side of the family or wherever it is we have Thanksgiving, I've never sat down at the table and the first thought in my mind is, well, I wish they would have prepared something I like. No, I look, I said, man, there's the green beans that I like. There's the turkey just the way I like. There's this, there's that. There might be one or two things up there that I don't care for, but there's so many other good blessings on that table. I'm not wrapped around the axle by the things that I don't like. I'm thankful for the things that are there. I know this is ABCs, this elementary. Oh, God, help us not to get so wrapped around the parts of life that we don't like, that we begin to realize all that God has lavished on us, how he has blessed us. If you can say this morning that the blood has been applied to your life,
amen,
and you are a child of God, you're blessed. If you can say this morning that God has pulled you out of darkness into light, you are blessed.
Amen.
If you can say heaven is going to be your home by faith,
hallelujah,
you are blessed. You're not waiting to be blessed. You're not waiting for God to give you something better. He's already lavished you with the best that he has.
Amen.
We are blessed. We are blessed. We are blessed.
I
encourage you, live from the blessings of God, not simply for the blessing. Live from what God has already done. You know what I believe? The scriptures tell me that he who delights himself in the Lord, that the Lord will give him or her the desires of their heart. Do you believe that promise?
Yes,
but what do you got to do to delight yourself in the Lord? You've got to be willing to say thanks for what he's already done. You're called up in what God has already done and who he is. First, oh, you may not ever see that thing, but I believe that God will do it. As we walk in blessing unto God and realize what he has done for us, I believe he pours out more blessings. Not because we ask for everyone, but simply because we have tasted of grace. For grace, as John says, grace upon grace, John chapter 1. God pours out his grace and his goodness to us, and we taste of it as his children. Live from the blessings of God. Walk in confidence. Walk in peace. Walk in joy, not because your circumstances are perfect, but because your position in Christ is secure. And walk in confidence. Tomorrow might bring a bad diagnosis. Last week might have brought a bad diagnosis, but I can live in confidence because I am secure in Jesus Christ, and I am persuaded that nothing shall be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. I'm persuaded of it because he is a good God. Oh, we have been blessed. We are already blessed. Number 3, the location of every blessing. As I already mentioned, verse number 3 tells us the location of every blessing is in Christ. Paul is going to use this phrase, in Christ, or its equivalent no less than 10 times in verses 3 through 14 alone. It is the spiritual heartbeat of this entire passage, and indeed of all of Paul's theology. The phrase is not just a poetic flourish. It defines where the believer's blessings reside and how. how they are received in Christ speaks of the union with Jesus, a real spiritual connection between the believer and the risen Lord. Every spiritual blessing listed in this praise by Paul here, election, adoption, redemption, forgiveness, sealing with the Spirit, it goes on and on. It all flows from being in Christ. I don't have to get there to experience His blessing. I experience His blessings because I am in Christ. Amen. To be in Christ is to have a new identity, a new position, and a new reality. Think of it as your new spiritual address. You may live in a specific city or a specific nation, but your eternal location is in Christ.
Amen.
By faith, our new location is in Christ. And because that is my new location, that is my new address, that is those heavenly places where I am seated with Christ, God will bless. This phrase also highlights that the blessings of God are not impersonal, nor are they abstract. They are relational. God doesn't just hand out blessings from a distance. He gives them to us in the person of His Son to receive the blessing. You must receive Him. And I tell you this morning, if you are outside of Christ, you do not know the blessings I speak of. You've had common grace. The sun rose this morning, and I enjoyed it, and perhaps you did as well. God gives common grace. But what I speak of here, spiritual blessings, are blessings that only those who are in Christ
Amen.
Can know. They are only those who in Christ can enjoy them. Those who have repented of their sins and made Christ the Lord of their life. That is the only way you can enjoy the blessing that Paul speaks of here. To receive the blessing, you must receive Him. Being in Christ defines some very important things about us. Number one, it defines our security. We are held in the hand of the one who conquered death. It defines our identity. When we say we are in Christ, it identifies us. We are not who the world says we are, but we are who Christ has made us to be. That is our new identity. We have been made something new by Jesus Christ. To say we are in Christ, it proclaims the provision of God on our behalf. Number three, we lack nothing spiritually when we are in Him. We are in Christ, and so if He gave us His Son, will He not freely give us all things? Yeah. Romans chapter 8. Because God will do it simply because we are in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Give a little Pentecostal perspective. Union with Christ does not happen by coercion or by some secret decree from God. It happens through a personal response of faith. God's prevenient grace, which we will discuss more about, makes it possible for all to believe, but He never forces faith on anyone. Thus, the blessings found in Christ are freely offered, but conditionally received. Freely offered to all, but conditionally received only by those who respond in faith. Not for some select few. Whosoever will. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. The same shall be saved. Oh, God's prevenient grace makes it possible for all to believe. But He never forces faith on anyone. Ask yourself, am I in Christ? Have I responded to the gospel and repented of my sin? Not with just with words or rituals, but with a living faith. Have I laid my heart down at His feet and asked Him to forgive me of my sins? You've got to ask yourself that, because only in Christ will you find this blessing. Oh, many Christians live as though they're still outsiders to God's blessing. Still striving, still insecure. But if you're in Christ, you're not trying to earn God's favor. You already have God's favor simply by being in the kingdom through the power of Christ. This truth also invites urgency in evangelism. If blessing is only found in Christ, then those outside of Christ are missing everything that truly matters. Do you believe that with all of your heart this morning? That those who are outside of Christ are missing out on every spiritual blessing that God would have them to enjoy? I believe. Now, I'm not saying that they don't have good lives. Some people outside of Christ, they experience some common graces. Oh, they might be wealthy. They might have a large family. They might even have a good spouse. They might have a good business. Oh, but they don't experience the spiritual blessing. So what should that compel us to do as believers who have tasted of these blessings? To go out and say, come into Christ, and in Him God will lavish you in His grace, and you will experience a blessing that the world can't give you and the world cannot take away. Oh God, let it compel our hearts. We must lovingly call others into that union through faith. Fourth thing I want you to notice here, the spiritual scope of these blessings. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Paul doesn't say we've been given some spiritual blessings. A few, a handful. He said, we have been given all, or every spiritual blessing, as some translations render, is ours in Christ. This phrase emphasizes the fullness and the completeness of God's provision to believers. In fact, this word every, or this word all, it's the Greek word phason. It is comprehensive. It means no spiritual gift is lacking for the one who is united with Christ. He has made them all available. God don't have a pyramid scheme where only a few people make all the blessings. I remember my mom and dad years ago went to one of those meetings. I think it's called Monomy. I don't know if you ever heard of it. Some sort of health drink you're supposed to take. It was nothing but a pyramid scheme. Thankful mom and dad didn't involve him. I knew people who did. And you know, and there's these few people at the top of the pyramid, they're making all the money, because if you share it with so many people, you get so many people to buy into, you get bumped up on the tiers. That's not the way it works with God. There is no pyramid scheme with Him. He has given us and made available every blessing simply because we are in Christ. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad to know that there are more spiritual blessings offered to Pastor Glenn than to me. I'm glad to know God doesn't love Sister Joyce Knapp more than He does me. And He don't love me more than He does Sister Joyce Knapp. But every blessing is made available simply because we are in Christ. So if you go through this word and you read about something that God has promised to be a blessing, we can claim it by faith, because God has given us every blessing in Christ. Amen. Jesus. God, help our faith to rise to receive the gift that God has given us. All these heavenly treasures are not earthly trinkets. They speak to the deepest needs of the human soul. Forgiveness, identity, purpose, hope, and communion with God. The term spiritual, pneumatiki, in the Greek refers to the blessings that are from the Spirit of God. They are of eternal value, and they are transformative for the inner life. These blessings stand in contrast to the material or temporal blessings like wealth, success, or ease, which are the world's blessings. That's why the prosperity gospel has got this thing on its head. And they say, oh, well, you know, you serve God and you're going to be blessed with wealth, health, and fame. You show me where that's really in the Bible. And they'll take a little verse out and strip it out of context and they'll say, see, you know, right there. It says that God will prosper those who believe in Him. Now, every spiritual blessing, He will not withhold good gifts from His children. Good gift might not be more money. That might be a bad gift. Good gift might not be increased finances. It might not be a brand new job. It might not be a brand new car. Although I believe God at times blesses in those ways, I'm thankful He has moved and He has worked things out.
But I'll tell you this, the greatest use of all are the ones who come down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning.
Oh, Paul is not dismissing God's care for physical needs, but he is prioritizing the real treasure. What God has done in the soul through Christ and continues to do by the Spirit of God. These are the spiritual blessings. To bring this to a conclusion this morning, let's notice here, he said, he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. This is the security of our blessings. Paul closes with this majestic verse by grounding these blessings in the heavenly realms. A phrase that he is going to use 5 times in the book of Ephesians. He's going to say it here in Ephesians 1 and 3. He's going to say it again in Ephesians 1 and 20. He's going to talk about the heavenly realms in Ephesians 2 and 6. He's going to mention it again in Ephesians 3 and 10. And finally, he's going to talk about it in Ephesians 6 and 12. It's a rich theological concept that deserves our attention. These heavenly places refer to the spiritual realm, the unseen dimension where Christ reigns and where our blessings reside. This is not simply a future hope of heaven, but it is a present spiritual reality for the believer. You have already been blessed in Christ, and those blessings are kept safe in heaven. Ooh. It is a place where Christ is exalted and seated at God's right hand. Ephesians 1 and 20. It's a place where we are spiritually seated with him. Ephesians 2 and 6. It's a place where God's wisdom is displayed through the church. Ephesians 3 and 10. It's a place where spiritual battles of life unfold, and we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Oh, because here God has blessed us and reserved these things. These blessings are eternal. They are unchanging. And they are secure. They cannot be stolen by the enemy. They cannot be eroded by time. And they cannot be shaken by circumstances. The heavenly places remind us that the most important things in life are invisible to the eye, but they are essential to the soul. They are essential to the soul. Lay up, therefore, for yourselves treasures in heaven. Existence. Eternal treasures. Let's stand below the building. Give it another little bit of Pentecostal insight here. These blessings are secure, but they are not unconditionally applied. They are found in Christ, and one must remain in him to fully inherit what God has stored up for us. Nobody can take it away from you, but you can forfeit the inheritance. Yeah. I hate to think I forfeited such an inheritance. I hate to think I wasted and squandered such blessings as God has blessed us with simply by being in Christ Jesus. So I encourage you this morning, anchor your heart in heaven. Oh, so where do you look when life is hard? When you're discouraged? When you feel spiritually poor? Paul says, look up! Look to Christ, look to the heavenly places. He said, because it is there that God has reserved blessing for us. When life feels more like a curse than it does a blessing, all you have to do is look up. Don't root your identity in what you own, how you feel, or what others say. Root your identity in Christ, who has blessed you completely. He has blessed you freely, and he desires to bless you eternally. This is the plan and purpose of God. His will. That we be blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Does that close this morning? Do something a little different. We're not going to come around the altars and pray this morning. What I want us to do is I want us to do this. Paul begins this by saying, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. How many this morning across this room and say, I have been blessed with spiritual blessings. over and over again. Well, if you've been blessed with spiritual blessings, this is what I want you to do. I want you to bless the name of the Lord with me for just a few moments. Give Him praise.
Hallelujah. Bless
that name.
Praise
to Him. We give you glory.
Give you glory.
God bless you this morning. You're dismissed.
Praise God.